The following sermon is presented by Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
When I mention these numbers, what do you think of? 318, 280, 363. Talking about gas prices. You know how gas prices go up and down? You have to spend money to put fuel in your car. If your car, like the cars on my shirt, or your car perhaps, maybe doesn't look like this car, I know mine doesn't. Your car has to have gasoline to go. It has to have fuel. You have to put it in the engine in order for the car to go. Now, some cars need more fuel than other cars. Like if you have a really big, fun car like Nate Gordon's car with the big wheels, then you got to have a little bit more fuel. Or maybe if you don't want to spend money on gasoline, you could do like Noah Hardy and get a diesel car and then make some biodiesel. You can, if you make it, talk to Noah, you can make it for around $1 a gallon. A good deal. But whatever you do, you have to have fuel to make your car go. Now, if you have your car tuned up really well, you can talk to Brian Carpenter about going to Napa and picking up some stuff to make your car tuned up better. Then you can have better fuel efficiency. You can use your car more efficiently. But us, as believers, as people who follow Christ, we have to have fuel to go. We have to have what we need to make us love God and to love other people. And what is that? What is it in our lives that makes us go, that makes us love God, that makes us want to sing like Bethany and Todd did? We long for you, God. You're our Savior. You're the one who's healed us. That once, what is it that makes us want to praise God like that? It's our hearts. What we all need each day is a heart that loves God, that longs for God. That heart that praises God and says, God, I need you. I want you. I love you. That heart that's close to God. That's what we need to go and to do what God wants us to do each day. And so many times I struggle, you struggle with living the Christian life, with being motivated to love other people, with being motivated to pursue our relationship with God. And what we need is fuel. We need a heart that longs for God. And last week we talked about how God wants to forgive us and cleanse us. So when we've sinned, when we've messed up, we can go to God and He cleanses us. He restores our relationship with Him. And this week we're focusing on how He wants to give us a right heart. A heart that says, God, I love you. I need you. A heart that longs for Him. Listen to what David prayed in Psalm 63. Look there with me if you want. Let's see what David's heart for God was like in Psalm 63. See, how does your heart, how does my heart measure up to what David expresses here? Because this is what we want from God. This is the heart that we want to consistently have. In Psalm 63, David prays, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Verse 2, thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate you on in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you, for your right hand upholds me. David here is crying out for God. He's longing for God. Do you long for God like that? Do you experience God's love in such a way? Are you so close to God that loving Him and knowing His love is better than even life? Do you thirst for Him? Do I thirst for Him? Do we wake up in the morning and say, God, I want to experience you today. I want to have joy in my heart because of you. Listen to the words of the song Everything by Lifehouse, a popular group, has some good lyrics. One of the words in one of their choruses is, you're all I want, you're all I need, you're everything. How can I stand here with you and not be moved by you? Would you tell me, how could it be any better than this? And that's the reality. God made our souls to long for Him. He's the Creator, the King of Kings. He's the one who made everything. We were at Mackinac Island this week on Wednesday and Thursday, and to go up in Fort Holmes and look out over the lake there, Lake Huron, and see all the trees and the beauty. The sky was blue. The weather was just like this. It was like 70 degrees. You see, this is what God created. He's an amazing God. And when we experience Him like that, by seeing what He's made, it's easy to say, God, you're amazing. But oftentimes when we're at work, when we're living the day with our family or with coworkers or friends, it's hard to keep in mind how great God is. But really, in reality, with all of creation, we each yearn for God. Our souls long for God. He's really what satisfies us. And yet, like Todd was talking about, so often our hearts are captured by small things. And instead of being amazed at how wonderful God is, we get caught up in the little things in life. We get distracted. Why should we long for God? Isaiah 6 talks about a picture of God that Isaiah had that made Isaiah long for God. Listen to what Isaiah saw. It says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. And Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." This is what Psalm 51 is all about. It's about being like Isaiah and being convicted of our sin and saying, "God, I've messed up," and crying out to God for forgiveness and experiencing his cleansing from the guilt of sin and from the stain of sin. And then, as God cleanses us and forgives us, just like Isaiah here, we're renewed, we're restored to be able to serve God and to go to God and say, "God, here I am. Send me. Use me to love the people around me, to share who you are with people." That's what Psalm 51 is about. It's about God restoring back what he wants to be there, that close relationship with him. So this psalm, Psalm 63, the song that I read from Lifehouse, the songs we sang this morning, all of them express that heart of longing for God that God wants us to have. And I just want to ask you this morning, do you realize that God wants a close, intimate relationship with you? He doesn't just want you to have a regular, mundane relationship with him. He wants your relationship with him to be amazing, to be wonderful. And yet, we don't have what we need to make it happen. That's part of the gift of our salvation that God gives us. He gives us what we need each day to be close to him. I just pray today that God will give each of us a heart that longs for him, and that we will learn to each day come to him and let him give us that heart. Last week we talked about what to do when we've sinned, how we can call out to the Lord and say, "Lord, I've sinned," confess our sins to him, and count on him to forgive us and to cleanse us. We talked about how sin stains us. And remember, I stained my shirt last week with cranberry relish. And Julie last week, she used a common household cleaner. You know what it is? Hydrogen peroxide. She just put it in that for a little while, and it's cleaned up. The stain of that cranberry relish was cleaned off. But even way more wonderfully, the stain of our sin is cleansed from us by Christ's death and resurrection. By our trust in Christ, he's forgiven us. And even though we're forgiven, when we sin, we still feel the weight of the sin. It still messes up our fellowship with God. And God wants to fix that. We can call out to him, and he'll give us forgiveness. And that's what the first half of the psalm was about. The second half, though, verses 10 through 19, is all about David seeking God for renewal, that God would renew his heart with him, his relationship with him. Maybe some of you heard about the mudslides that happened in Venezuela a few years ago, how mud just came down and destroyed villages and smashed houses. Maybe some of you even went to Louisiana when Hurricane Katrina smashed houses and destroyed things there. When there's been destruction and havoc like that, you need someone to go in and clean things up. But that's not all you need. You need someone to go back and rebuild things and make things restored to the way they were, to the way they're supposed to be. And seeking God for forgiveness and for cleansing is like getting that destruction cleaned up. But then we can't stop there. We have to go to God and say, "God, give me a clean heart. Give me the joy of your salvation. Help me to really have that kind of relationship with you that you want me to have." And that's what God wants to do for us. And that's what God did for David, what David was praying for. God wants to rebuild that relationship with him and restore it to what he wants it to be. So, do you struggle with wanting to do ministry throughout the week, with wanting to love people? Do you struggle with having a heart to praise God or with being close to God? Do you struggle with really fighting that sin that you're tempted with throughout the week, whether it's your attitude or your thoughts or your words towards other people? One of the most frustrating things to me personally is just me being complacent and apathetic, having a heart that's just kind of complacent and not very excited about God, not very passionate about him. That frustrates me that I struggle with that. And I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, can relate to that. We struggle with having a heart that's apathetic and complacent sometimes. What can we do? In Psalm 51, we see we can cry out to God, "God, give us a heart that longs after you." And let's look at that today in Psalm 51. We're going to see that God wants to restore in us a heart that delights in his salvation and his presence, a heart that declares his glory to the nations, and a heart that draws near to him. Look with me at Psalm 51. It says in your bulletin verses 12 through 21, but it's supposed to be 10 through 19. That was my mistake. I was looking at the wrong Numbers. So look at Psalm 51, verse 10. Read with me. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar." So we're going to see three things that David does here in the psalm. He is delighting in God's presence and salvation. He's declaring God's glory to the nations. And he's drawing near to God with a humble and a broken heart. So on the first point in your bulletin, it's if you could write above delight in God's, right, count on Christ to renew you so that you delight in God's presence and salvation. So after studying some more, I realized that really what David's doing here is he's counting on Christ to renew him. So put count on Christ to renew you so that you delight in God's presence is the first blank, and then salvation. God wants to renew in us a delight, a joy in his salvation, in his presence. And that's what he's praying here in Psalm 51, verse 10. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." And we saw last week that starting in verse 1, David is saying, "God, have mercy on me according to your love." And then he says, "Blot out my transgressions." Remember, we talked about how that's God nailing our sin, our rebellion to the cross. And then if you see in verse 9, the end of verse 9, he says, "Blot out all my iniquities." So that's kind of the end of that section of him seeking God for forgiveness. And now in verse 10, he's saying, again, "God, give me a clean heart." And that word for create is the same word that's always used of God creating. It's never used of anyone else creating something in the Old Testament. It's the word that God used in, that was used in Genesis 1 for God creating the universe, the heavens, and the earth. And then it's the word that's always used for what God can do, what only God can do. And that clean heart, it's a heart that's pure, the heart that's right. And only God can do that in us. When we've sinned, when we've gotten distracted from God, when we've pursued other things, it's so hard to get our heart back in the right spot. I know last week, for me, there were several times when I struggled with sinning. I sinned with my thoughts, with my attitude. And I had to go to God and say, "God, give me a clean heart. Forgive me. Help me." And it was such a joy to be despairing in my sin and then to see God give me a heart that said, "Yes, I trust in you. You're my God. I'm thankful for you." And I need that every week. Every week I need to keep going back to God and saying, "God, give me a clean heart. Give me a heart that loves you, a right heart." And just like that renovation project that we were talking about with Hurricane Katrina, when you're fixing your house, after you clean out the mess, sometimes you have to maybe paint the house. Don't worry, I'm not going to paint anything. But paint would be like God creating a clean heart, making it right, making it look right, making us have pure motives. We need to have our heart cleansed by God. Our motives are selfish sometimes. Our focus is on ourselves. We need God to give us a clean heart and a pure heart that focuses on him and that has his motives. So that's 51 verse 10 is God created me a clean heart. That heart is, that's your the seat of your will, your emotions, that's you. God wants to create in us a fresh way, a clean heart. Do you realize that? Do you go to him and ask him to give you a clean heart? I know I need to way more often. I hope and pray that each of us will realize that God wants to give us a clean heart, a heart that says yes to him and that loves him. The second thing he says here is, in verse 10 in the second part, renew a right spirit within me, or renew a steadfast spirit. And that word for steadfast or right, it comes from the word for established. Like when you build a house, you have a foundation. And if your foundation isn't very good, what happens to your door frames? After a while, they start to shift a little bit, and you can't use the deadbolt anymore. And then when you put in a new door, it's really hard. It takes hours and hours, right, to put in a new door when the house is shifted. Maybe if you don't have a good, say you take out a wall to make more space. If you don't have support in there, the roof's going to start sagging, and maybe it'll fall in on you. That's not good. So you have to have support. You have to be, your house needs to be steadfast. And so to do that, you need things like tape measure to know how far the studs, how far apart the studs should be. Maybe a hammer to nail some of the 2x4s in and make the house be strong. And that's what we need in our hearts. We need a spirit that's consistent and loyal to God, that's steadfast with him. so often we're inconsistent. One day we're doing good, loving God and loving other people. The next day we're not consistent. The next day we're struggling, and it's up and down, up and down. For me, for a lot of you, maybe for all of us, there's inconsistencies in our lives. And Christ wants to come in and give us a consistent spirit. A spirit that says, yes, I want to be about your purposes, God. I want to care about you. A lot of times, I'm just thinking about what people think about me. Or I'm thinking about what I want. God wants to give me, he wants to give you a heart that's consistently saying, God, what do you want? I want to be loyal to your purposes. And he says he wants to renew that in us. David's saying, God, renew that steadfast spirit in me. Now, God wants to do that in us. And a good way to summarize those two requests on letter A is ask God for a faithful heart, a heart that's faithful to him. And so I want to remind myself and remind you this morning, God wants to give us a faithful, a consistent heart that consistently says yes to him. All we need to do is look to him and count on Christ to do that. When Christ died on the cross and rose again, he did everything that needed to be done in order to give us everything we need for life and godliness. We don't need anything else except for him. So if he's in your life, if you've said yes to him, and believed in him and submitted to him, then you have what you need to have this kind of heart that loves God and loves other people. It's hard sometimes because I try to do it on my own. You try to do it on your own sometimes. But if we seek him and his help, he'll enable that to be in us. The second thing in verse 11 is we need to desire to enjoy God's presence. We see here that David loved being in God's presence. And look at what he prays in verse 11. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. So he's saying, God, please, don't throw me out of your presence. I don't want to be taken away from you. I love being with you. And he says, don't take away your spirit that enables me to experience you. Remember that with Hebrew, with the poetry and the Psalms, they don't rhyme sounds like roses are red, violets are blue. They rhyme ideas. So these two ideas are rhyming. They're similar. He doesn't want to be cast out of God's presence. He doesn't want the Holy Spirit to be taken from him. And to understand better what David's talking about here, if you look at 1 Samuel 15, it's where Saul disobeyed God because he didn't kill all the Amalekites and all of their cattle and livestock. He kept some of them back. And so then Saul went to him and said, you disobeyed the Lord. You're going to lose the kingdom now. You're going to not be king anymore. Listen to what happened in 1 Samuel 16, where David got the Holy Spirit upon him as king, and Saul lost that. In 1 Samuel 16:13, it says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, talking about David. And the Spirit of the Lord came up mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. So specifically, David's talking about the special presence of the Holy Spirit that's upon him as the king. He's not necessarily saying, God, don't take away your spirit from me so that I lose my salvation, or don't take away your spirit so that I'm not able to communicate with you anymore. He's talking about, as the king, he experienced God's spirit in a special way that guided him and comforted him and enabled him to be the king over Israel and blessed him. And so David's saying, God, don't take that away. I want to continue to be in your presence and experience you. So as believers in Christ, we don't have to pray, God, don't take away your Holy Spirit from me. How more this applies to us is, God, I want to experience you. I want to enjoy being in your presence. Because even though we're with God all the time, if we know Christ, we don't always realize it. Like if the lights were to go off. Say the lights go off in your house. Then maybe you're there with your family, you're there with your loved ones, but you can't see them, so you don't enjoy it as much. Now here it's not pitch dark because there's lights from outside. But if you don't have lighting in your house, then it's not as fun. You can't see people. So, thanks, Brandon. You can turn it back on. So we need things like light bulbs in our houses so we can enjoy being with people that we love who are there. The same way in our relationship with God, we're always with Christ if we know him as our Savior. But we don't always realize that. We forget. We lose sight of the fact that he's there. We need God to help us to remember, help us to experience his presence in our lives. Listen to what David said in Psalm 84 about how much he longed to be with God. Psalm 84, verse 1, David says, how lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. In verse 10 of Psalm 84, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. David longed to experience being in God's presence. He got so much joy from being with God. Listen to Psalm 16:11. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. David longed to continue being in God's presence and enjoying God. And I don't know about you, but I forget sometimes how wonderful it is to enjoy being with God. I know that I'm with Him all the time and He's with me, but I forget. And then I quit going to Him. Like if you know your car needs gasoline or diesel, but you don't think the gas station is going to have any for you, are you going to go to the gas station? No, you're going to go to Noah's house and try to make some biodiesel or something like that. You don't go to someone unless you have hope that they're going to give you what you need or what you're seeking by going to them. We often don't go to God to enjoy Him because we forget God wants us to enjoy Him. He wants us to enjoy remembering that Christ died for our sins and that He's forgiven us. He wants you to enjoy knowing that He loves you, that He's your Father. He wants you to enjoy knowing that He's in control, even though things are crazy sometimes. He's in control and He loves you and He'll take care of you. God wants you to enjoy being with Him. And so often, I don't enjoy being with Him because I forget that He wants me to be with Him and enjoy Him. And so we need to remember and to long for God's presence, to enjoy God's presence and knowing that He's with us and seek that from God. And when we've sinned, we have to confess that sin like David did earlier in the psalm and turn from it and say, God, help me, cleanse me. And then be willing to say yes to Him. Our hearts get cold to God and they need to be warmed by the fire of God's word, by the fire of saying yes to God. So we need not, it's not just a subjective, experiential thing. It's rooted in knowing what God's word says and understanding God and what He says to us. We can experience God's presence as we talk to Him and understand His word. So the first application is long for being with God. Secondly, do we need to worry about God taking the Spirit away? Just like I said before, according to Ephesians 1, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. If you're in Christ, you're sealed with the Spirit. He's not going to take the Spirit away from you. But we need to not quench the Spirit. Oftentimes we have the Holy Spirit in us, but we're not letting Him produce the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the enjoyment of Him being with us. So if there's a way that you're saying no to God, that you're rejecting His guidance in your life, His prompting in your life, stop doing that. Say yes to God. Say yes to His Spirit and enjoy His presence more as you obey Him, as you let Him help you love Him. So the first thing, we need to ask God to give us a faithful heart. The second thing, we need to delight in being in God's presence by, what did I say in there? By desiring to enjoy God's presence. Then the third thing is, we need, from verse 12, we see we need to seek joy and strength from God. So in this is the last verse in this section where he's asking God to renew him. He's saying in verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." We need joy from God. The fact that He saved us, a lot of times we lose sight of how wonderful that is. This morning when we were singing those songs, I was reminded, God, You've forgiven my sins. You've made me Your child, and I'm going to spend forever with You. And it makes me so thankful. It makes me so glad. I want to tell somebody else. I want to sing. I want to serve Him. But a lot of times I lose sight of that, and I'm not very thankful for His salvation. So with our housing renovation example, sometimes you don't enjoy being in your house if there's no fan. Like here in church, if it's not 70 outside, if it's 90 outside, without the fans, if you're not feeling them because you're on the outer edges, sometimes it's not as enjoyable. And sometimes we lose sight of how wonderful being saved is. And the fan in our house helps us to enjoy our house more. But remembering that God saved us helps us to enjoy God more and remembering who He is, what He's done for us. So I encourage you, every day when you get up, try to remember God has saved me. I was a sinner. I was lost in my sin. I was dead. And Christ has made me alive. Maybe you do that while you're taking a shower, while you're brushing your teeth, or while you're getting dressed, or maybe while you're driving to work. Remember who God is and what He's done for us. And ask Him to renew in us that joy of our salvation. The second thing He asked for in this verse is to uphold me with a willing spirit. To support me, to sustain me with a spirit that says yes to You. He's asking God to strengthen him, to keep him going with a spirit, a heart that says, God, I want to do what You want to do. And that's what we need to keep going. Because sometimes we've sinned, we've failed, and then it's hard to keep going. Because we struggle again, we sin again, and then we come back to God, and then we sin again. God wants us to sustain us, to strengthen us, to keep us going, to give us endurance. And so we can seek Him for that. We can say, God, give me endurance. Help me to keep going. God, give me a willing spirit that says yes to You because I know that my heart is fickle and it's easier for me to turn back to my sin and to idols. And so if we seek God for that, He'll give that to us. He wants to give us a willing spirit to sustain us with a heart that says yes to Him. And for me, I know that in my house, having a wonderful spouse helps me to keep going and to enjoy that house, to use our house analogy. And for you, being in your house, there's certain things that make your house enjoyable, whether it's the pictures you put on the wall or who you're there with, your kids or your spouse, or whatever it is. When you renovate a house and fix it, there's things that, if you don't have those things, it doesn't matter how great the structure is, it's not going to be a wonderful house to live in. And your relationship with God, He wants to give you His Spirit and to help you to keep going with Him and to enjoy that relationship with Him, to keep going and to persevere, to endure. So I encourage you, ask God to give you a faithful heart. Desire to enjoy being in God's presence. Seek Him for joy and for strength to keep going and to love Him. He wants to keep sustaining us in our relationship with Him. So maybe you've lost sight of the kind of relationship God wants to have with you. I encourage you, remember, He wants a close relationship with us. So ask Him to renew you, to restore your heart. He's the source of joy. We need Him. We need His help to enjoy Him and to love Him more. The second thing is, when we have been forgiven by Christ and renewed by Him, He wants us to declare God's glory to the nations. The second point, declare God's glory to the nations. Listen to Psalm 51, verse 13 through 15. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. So we need to realize that ministry flows out of a prepared heart. Why do we not want to share the gospel with people sometimes? Why do I go to work and not think about the fact that some of my coworkers don't know Jesus Christ? Why does that fact slip my mind so much? Why do sometimes I not feel motivated to love other people? Why do you not feel motivated to love other people sometimes? We need our heart to be prepared with that longing for God, that love for God, that close relationship with God. That's what keeps us going. And so that's why David first is saying, God, create in me a clean heart, and then I'll tell transgressors about you. Then I'll praise you. So when we're struggling with wanting to do ministry, with wanting to praise God, what is it that we need to do? A lot of times I'm just frustrated because I don't feel like doing ministry or loving people or sharing the gospel. But I need to go back to the source of the problem. The source of the problem is my heart, my closeness with God. And He wants to restore that. And then the result will be that I'll want to serve Him. I'll want to praise Him. It's like with the flashlight. If I take the batteries out of the flashlight, then it's not going to make any light. But God wants us to be light to the world. He wants us to show people Jesus Christ is amazing. He wants to save you. He wants to be your Lord and your friend, your Savior. And to do that, we need His strength. Just like this flashlight needs batteries to shine, our hearts need Christ restoring that close relationship with Him so that we can live for Him and show Him off with how we live. So I challenge you, if you're struggling with having a close relationship with God, that's going to affect how you're going to want to do ministry and love people and share Christ. But then once you're seeking Him to help you with your closeness of your relationship with Him, then that's going to enable you to do ministry and to share who Christ is with people. Look at verse 13. He says, I'll teach transgressors your ways. He's going to tell people who are rebellious against God about God's ways, about who God is, about how God is holy and perfect, and how God sent Christ to earth to die and to be resurrected and to restore that relationship with us that He wants to have. He says that sinners are going to return to you. They're going to be caused to come back to God. And that's what we want to see. Each of us that have been saved by Christ, we came back to God from being rebellious against Him. We came to Him and now we're with Him. We should want to praise Him and thank Him for that. And then we should want to see other people also come back to Him, come to Him. So the first thing is realize that ministry comes out of a prepared heart. The second thing is, depend on God to give you a heart of worship. We see in verse 15, David prays, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. We need God to help us to want to praise Him. A lot of times I don't feel like singing to God. A lot of times my heart is just kind of dry. And I need to think about God's word and think about what Christ has done for me. And as He restores in me a clean heart, and as He causes us to delight in His presence, then we're going to want to praise Him. He opens up our lips to want to praise Him. Have you ever been so discouraged by yourself, by your sin, that you just don't feel like singing, you don't feel like talking, you just feel kind of zapped? I know I have. And when I come to God, and when we come to God and say, God, cleanse me, restore my relationship with you to what you want it to be, then He frees us to want to praise Him and to sing to Him. So depend on God to give you a heart of worship that says, yes, God, I want to praise you. I love you. The third thing, letter C, seek opportunities to share God's ways with your neighbors. Looking back at verse 13 and 14, he's saying that he'll teach transgressors God's ways. And then he says, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, because he's committed murder. And he says, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. So really praising God and sharing who God is with our neighbors and with our friends and with other people, it's really the same thing. Like it says in 1 Peter 2:9, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Sharing the gospel with people, being a light, is really just about praising God before them, saying God is amazing, just telling about what God's done in your life. And so I encourage you, are there people that you're praying for that you're seeking opportunities to share with? Are there people that you maybe live next to or that you work with or that you have in your family? You're saying, God, I want this person to know you. Please work in their heart. Give me opportunities to talk about how wonderful you are. Sharing the gospel with your neighbors, with your friends, with your family is not just saying, here's the plan of salvation. Will you receive Christ? It's not just doing that. It's talking about how God's worked in your life. It's talking about how wonderful God is to you and how you've experienced him. It's the whole package of it, sharing who God is in your life with them. So I encourage you, look for opportunities. And even, like, if you mow your neighbor's yard, is that sharing Christ with them? It definitely helps show them God's love, right? And maybe you can talk to him some other time. Or maybe you don't get to talk to him for a while. But showing God's love to people, sharing who God is with people, whether it's through acts of service, whether it's through kind words, whether it's through being their friend, let's seek opportunities to tell people of God's ways. Listen to what Colossians 4, 2 through 6 says. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Paul is saying, pray for us that we'll have opportunities to make Christ known to people. And that's our prayer at our church at Maranatha. We want to praise God and love God. We want to help each other get to know Christ better. We want to declare our God is amazing to people in Comstock Park, to people at our work in Grand Rapids, to people in other countries, through our missionaries in Quebec and Utah and at Camp Awakai and other places, and other places that we're not even going right now. We want to say God is amazing. Jesus Christ is the Lord. We want to share that with other people. And so I encourage you, I challenge you and myself, let God use you this week to share how great he is with somebody else. The last point, quickly, is draw near to God with a humble and broken heart. These last verses summarize the whole Psalm of David that he was praying here. He says, for you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices. In burnt offering and whole burnt offering, then young bulls will be offered on your altar. So the first point, God is interested in your heart after you've sinned. This is so encouraging to me. He's saying that God is not pleased with all these great things we can try to do for him, the sacrifices that David would have offered or the things we might try to do now. What God wants is our heart. He wants us to come to him broken and contrite and say, God, I'm a mess. I've failed you. That's what pleases God, is for us to come to him humbly and say, God, I need you. And to recognize our sin and to say, God, forgive me. Restore in my heart what you want to be there. That's what God's looking for. And that's so encouraging to me because I can do that. I can come to God and say, God, I need you. I'm a wreck. My attitude has been a mess today. I've been impatient. I've been selfish. I'm not thinking about others first. I'm not wanting to praise you. I can come to God and say that. But for me to fix it and get it all together on my own, I can't do that very well. But God wants us to come to him and say, God, I need you. And then he is interested in restoring things and making things right because he's God and we need him. He's the one who can do it, not us. So the first thing, God wants us to come to him broken and contrite, saying, God, we need you. We're broken about our sin. We're not happy with it. And God is so pleased and wants to restore us and forgive us. And secondly, God also wants our obedience. God wants your obedience also. Verse 18 and 19 that are a little bit controversial as far as what they mean or how they fit with the rest of the psalm. But I think basically he's saying, now that my heart is right and that I've confessed my sin and God's restored me, he's saying, God, bless Jerusalem, bless Zion, so that we can offer sacrifices there again. Because that was the place that God wanted them to worship him back then, and the place that God wanted them to offer sacrifice to him. But he wasn't interested in them just doing these sacrifices and then having sinful hearts. He wanted their hearts first, and then he wanted them to serve him and obey him. So for us, God wants us to come to him and give him ourselves, and then he'll use us in the church, use us in our homes, in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools. God wants to make himself known through us. And so the way to really have a life of loving worship and ministry is by seeking God to restore our hearts to be what he wants them to be. So I encourage you, I encourage myself this week, remember, God wants to restore our hearts and to make our hearts long for him, to make our hearts enjoy him, to make our hearts trust him. And so we just need to ask him and seek him and trust Christ to do the work in our hearts that we need in order to serve him every day. So I'm so thankful that God is so gracious and loving to us that he would give us everything we need to serve him.
You've been listening to a sermon presented at Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.